I believe that. I believe it first because the Word says so. That we're here in His name and He's with us, right? I believe that's right. But I also believe it because I've seen how you have reacted to people who, like me, who have messed up so bad that they couldn't face church and they couldn't face old friends and they couldn't face, well, they couldn't even face themselves and what they'd done. And I've watched you love me and I've watched you love others just like that. Luke 15, I think, illustrates this place. We haven't done it in a couple of years. But you remember when the son came home? And what did the father do? Do you remember? The father ran to him. You remember when the father kissed him and hugged him and gave him the shoes and the robe and the ring? And then he had what? Slaughtered the fatty for a long time here. For a long time. But we haven't done it in the last couple of years because of logistics and such. But a couple of years ago, we had to kill the fatted calf, come home, feast. And old Dwayne, he cooked, I don't know how many briskets. He killed every cow in Lubbock County. We had brisket and brisket and brisket and brisket. And so, if for no other reason, Dwayne needs to get well for that. But that's the way it's supposed to be. Now, go back to that story. Did the older brother see it that way?
No.
Did the older brother agree with what the father was doing?
No.
The point is, who cares? Who cares? If the father is celebrating, what should the son be doing? And our father, when we come home, when folks like us have come home, and we talked about it last week, and let's do it again just for fresh faces. How many in this room, when you first came here, you were looking for a way to come home to the Lord? Hold up your hand and hold it and leave it up there. Leave it up there. I want you to keep hold it up higher so everybody see it. Joe, all the way up, all the way. There you go. I want you to look at this. Yeah, and some of us can put two hands up. I want you to look around. You cannot get in trouble for looking around in this church. Nobody's going to pinch you. I'm telling you, this place was created by God to say, if you want a place to come home, you come home. You can come home here. And we've had folks that came here and got enough rest and enough healing that they could grow a little bit, and then they slip back off to go to big church or other places. That's, thank God. Thank God. We're not mad at anybody that they left. That's a good thing to do that. That's a good thing. We're not about pushing back walls and building bigger rooms. We're about bringing folks in who need to come back home and do with them what we can, help them to come back. Celebrate with them if we can. That was us, y'all. That was us. Now, are there other people that see it differently? And I'm glad in Luke 15 he shows us that. Should it surprise us that there are people that are going to see it differently? No, it shouldn't surprise us. Now, sometimes we get all offended and we get all hurt by what, and I understand the hurt, and I understand those being righteously offended it. But I honest, should it surprise us that there are people that are not going to agree with what how the Father received us? And honest, I don't expect people to receive me like the Father does. Now, I'm grateful when they do, but if they don't, that's between them and God. That's not about me. I'm not going to worry about what they think. I hope you'll do the same. Let's not worry about how somebody else treats us. We know how the Father treated us, right? Right? Now, what could you have said? Watching that party go on, okay? They kill the fatted calf. There is that pig-sty-smelling, worthless, reprobate, heathen, creep, prodigal son. There he is standing there in that party wearing that new robe and those new sandals and the checkbook on his face. That's the ring, was the checkbook. I mean, he's got inheritance all over again. He's a son again. After all, what's the conversation? If you could listen to the older brother's conversations, what would they have been saying? While that guy's partying, what are people saying? He doesn't deserve that. That's not fair. What are people saying? He's taking some of my stuff. He ought to be stoned. The way he lived. What are they saying?
He's only going to do it again.
He's only going to turn around and do it again. If you don't make him... You want to hear what they really say? You mean tell you? Because I heard it. If you don't make him pay for what he did, he'll just turn around and do it again. How many of you want to do that with Jesus? How many of you want to pay for what you did? We can't do it, y'all. It's impossible. Well, I know God forgave him, but... But what? But what? He has got to face the consequences of what he's done. And if I don't think the consequences were enough, what am I allowed to do? Add to them. You've got to do things this way. You've got to be this way. You've got to do this and that. And be careful that you don't be seen laughing. Don't be seen enjoying your salvation. Because guess what? If you laugh, if you go to the rejoicing party and laugh, guess what the folks on the outside of the party say? He's not even sorry for what he did. Heard that. Here's the point. We decided we wanted to be a place that folks could come home. I think we work on it a lot. I make no claim that we do it, but we have worked on it a lot. How do you treat those kind of people? Well, this father teaches us. First thing you do is accept them. Full, wholehearted acceptance. That's a hug, that's a kiss, that's a robe, that's a ring, that's a new pair of shoes. That is a celebration come home party. We celebrate people when they come home because they'll never do it again, right? Anybody want to testify that you didn't do it again or didn't have trouble again? Don't lie in church now. Boy, you're going to have trouble, aren't you? Now, it's not because you never did it again. It's not because you'll never do wrong again. It's not because you won't ever have trouble again, won't ever cause somebody pain again. You come home, somebody comes home, you accept them where they are at that moment. And where are they at that moment? They're home. They're home. They were dead, but now they're alive. Now, do you have to worry about what took place yesterday? No, that's past. Do you have to predict what's going to happen tomorrow? No, because nobody can do that. So you just handle today. So for today, guess what? They're alive. They're not dead. They've been found. They're not lost. So rather than us or our religious leaders trying to determine if they paid enough consequences for their past or if we've planned a program to fix them in the future, what should we do, y'all? Do the happy dance their home. I hope we become that kind of place. Not saying we're not. I just hope we become that kind of place. We do not approve sin. We do not take a soft soap, grandpa God kind of approach to sin. Sin is sin. It'll damn you. If you're not careful, it'll not only damn you, it'll destroy your life in the process. And you can flip that statement around as well. But if you're here and you're home and you're trying to do better, look, you came home. You're dead and now you're alive. You were lost and now you're found. Let's celebrate first. Let's celebrate. Let's rejoice. Rejoice in their life. That's number one. Well, what else do you do? What else do you do? Let's look in the Bible and see what you can find. Look in the book of Galatians. Now, you're in the book of Luke right now. For those of you just getting started, you're going to turn to the right. You're going to go past the red letters. Luke and John and Acts and Romans and 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. And then you got Galatians. I want you to go to Galatians. And it's a little bitty book, so if you turn very fast, you miss it. Galatians, I want you to look in chapter 6. We read this not long ago, so this will be a good reminder. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, so what does that tell you is possible? You can be caught in a sin. Well, not me, I'm a spiritual person. I go to church all the time. Guess what? That's the folks that get caught in the sin, right? Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual, restore him gently. Now, I know there ought to be a discussion here about how do you know if a brother's caught in a sin, or how do you know if you're spiritual. I wish we would spend less time trying to figure out who he's talking about and just do it. Do you not know when somebody's having trouble? Do you not know that you might be able to help that brother? But I love how it tells him to help it. Look what he says. You who are spiritual should, and underline the word, restore. What does restore mean? Bring him back to his original condition. Get him back here where he belongs. Get him back here where it's right for him to do. Be. He is supposed to be here. Yes, but you don't understand what he did. No, I may not understand what he did. Or in fact, I may have done exactly the same thing he did. But what's the point? It's not what he did. It's where he is. Is he here? Let's restore. I didn't write it. God said it. We're to restore him. How? 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 Gently. So let me say a couple of things. One, I think I ran across some folks when I was trying to come back home, if you want to say it that way. I ran across some folks that were pretty rough, pretty harsh. And they would, it wasn't that they weren't using God's Word. They were, but they were using God's Word focused on my sin, making sure that I understood that my sin was damning or damnable type stuff. Okay. I understand. But be real honest, if someone is coming back home, if somebody is moving away from their sin to come back home, how does helping them know that their sin is damnable help them? I'm moving away from the sin. Now, if I was living in the sin, what do I need to hear? Turn or burn, you heathen. You know, I need to hear that. But if I have turned from my sin, if I've turned from my sin and headed back toward home, what should I be hearing? The welcome home. Come on in here. We got the party starting. Celebrate. There should be a celebration of acceptance, right? But it also should be gentle, not harsh. I ran across some people that were harsh, and I'm serious. I was in a meeting with a group of men I at one time considered very spiritual, godly men, and was just raked over the coals with God's Word about how wrong I had been. Now, were they right? Yes, they were right. I had been horrible. But what did that do for me? It didn't make me... I was 5 years away from the sin at that point. But they reminded me of how bad I was. Okay, maybe I needed reminding. But that's not what he says here. You take somebody and you be gentle with them. Why be gentle? Why gentle? Why are you gentle with somebody who's been caught in a sin? They're tender. They're hurt. They're bruised. They're broken. You'd do it for a pet. If a pet of yours was hit by a car out here in the street, how would you go out there and get them? Stupid dog, I told you to get on. No. What would you do? You would be gentle. You would take care. No, let's just leave him out there. He deserves it. He got out there and I told him not to get out in the road. Look what he did. No. That's not what you do. But I've heard us do that in church. That fella, he knew better than that. Whatever happened to him, he deserved. We just let him face the consequences. Shame on us for ever having that kind of thought. But now on the other side of that, I also ran across some people that weren't harsh that way, but they were kind of, they were funny. And I want us to be real careful about this, because we got folks here, we got personalities here. When I see that commercial on TV about characters, welcome, they need to film this church. We got some characters in this place. I'm not one of them, but I've heard that there are people. There are some characters in here. But we like to tease. We like to play. I love that. I love that. I love that. I love that. But when somebody's coming back home, you know what I've heard people say? I've heard it. Oh man, the ceiling's going to fall down in the church today. Now, how's that make you feel? Well, what in the world are you doing in church? Now, if you're tender, what happens? You turn and run because nobody... Guys, let's be careful of sarcasm. There's no place for sarcasm when somebody's heart's hurting. No place for it. Well, I was just teasing. Okay, next time you get hurt, you hit your thumb with a hammer, or you stub your toe, show me the blue, purple part of your thumb, and let me show you about teasing. If somebody's hurting, you be gentle. Gentle means you don't do anything to hurt them more. Now, do they need to know what they did was wrong? Yes, they do. Guess what? I bet they already do. I bet that's why they came home. Yeah, but they probably just came home because they got caught. So, they came home. Well, I bet the only reason they came home is because they had trouble. Okay. They came home. I bet the only reason they came home is because... Who cares why they... Honest? Do you care? We want them here, don't we? We want them home. God wants them home. So you don't challenge their past and you don't check their motives. Did they come home? Thank God they came home. Celebrate it and then treat them gently. Last verse today. Turn back one book to 2 Corinthians. There was an interesting kind of thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Interesting kind of thing happened in that church. In 1 Corinthians, in a letter written to the first letter written to Corinth, to that church, they had a problem. There was a guy doing some bad stuff, and he was sitting in that church, and nobody was acting like it was a big deal. I got to tell you, we've had some folks attend here, and I love you. We've had some folks visit us here. They've kind of taken that kind of approach. These folks are so loving and they're so accepting. They don't care if you just do whatever you want to. That's not true. You need to make sure you don't misunderstand. If God says something's a bad deal, we're going to agree with God it's a bad deal. You need to watch that kind of stuff in your life, right? So they weren't doing anything. So Paul wrote them his letter and got real pointed with them and said, you might ought to do something. That's not a good thing, and it'll cause trouble in this whole church if you don't do something. Well, the church woke up and they said, oh, what are we thinking? We need to agree with God about this, brother. We need to do something. And so they got this brother, got his attention, and I don't know all that they did, but they got his attention and he repented. He came back. I'm telling you what, that's what you're supposed to do. When you see somebody messing up, you go talk to them. And you say, listen, I love you, but you got to watch out for that. That's dangerous stuff. And not only will it hurt you, it'll hurt your family. Not only hurt your family, it'll hurt the church. So you got to get that. Well, this brother heard it. They got his attention, and he turned his heart around and wanted to come back home. And I want you to look in chapter 2. I want you to look at how Paul said to treat him. Verse 6, the punishment inflicted on him by the majority is sufficient. What does sufficient mean? Enough. You got his attention. You got his attention. Is that enough? He came to his senses is what that means. That's enough. I don't have to bring up the pig pen every time I see him. Boy, I got brothers that cannot email me, cannot write blogs about me without making sure that they remind me and anybody else that knows me of what I've done wrong. That's one of the consequences I'm going to have to live with. But that ain't the way God does it. The punishment inflicted by the majority was sufficient. It's enough. If it's got his attention, if it got him home, it's enough, y'all. So we don't bring it up. We leave that alone. It's not about the past anymore. It's not about the past. It's about he's home. He's alive. He's saved. Now keep reading. Now I didn't write this. Mark these words. You ought. What does the word ought mean? Have to. That's God's way of saying you got to do this for sure. You ought to. Number one. What does it say? forgive. Say it. Forgive. Circle it. Underline it. Remember it. I am obligated by God to forgive that brother. Now, based on what? It's a real easy question. Based on what? The Father's forgiven him? What am I going to do? I'm going to agree with God. It's always right to agree with God. God forgives you, guess what? I don't have a choice. It's settled. You're forgiven. So I can either forgive you or not go to the party. I want to go to the party. So I'm going to forgive you. And then number two, not only do you forgive, comfort. Now I love this over here. Well, I'll forgive you. But I ain't going to forget it. Oh, I love it when I hear one of us say that. That is such foolishness. That is such foolishness. If it comes to somebody coming home and we forgive them, what are we bound? I didn't write it. What are we bound by God? What are we bound by God to do? Not just forgive, we're bound to comfort. Now, what does comfort mean? What does comfort mean? Yeah, I heard it. Reassure. Restore. Come here, Kelly. No. You got your Bible. Come here. Zach. My nose is Zach. You know what the word comfort is? You've seen me do this before. Why are you so tall? We need to have... Can we have short people sit on the front row from now on, okay? You know what the word comfort is? The word comfort is this. An actual word defined in Greek is to call to your side. I am required by God not just to forgive you. I'll forgive you then. Notice I'm the spiritual one because my voice is deeper. I am spiritual. Okay, I'll forgive you. But now you got to sit over there in the corner. And I'd prefer you not sit on the front row. Sit back there. And you know, No! If I'm required by God, if God forgave him, I have to forgive him. Because it's always right to agree with God. And not only do I forgive him, what do I do? What does God command me to do? What does God require me to do? Comfort him. I have to reassure. Now, why in the world would Zach need comforting? Why would he need reassurance? Why would he need this? He's hurting, y'all. Well, I don't know that he's hurt as much as he's hurt other people. I don't know about other people. I know about him. I did say it to an elder one time. He said, well, I just don't know what to do with it. I said, you take care of the one that's hurting. He said, well, we're doing everything for this person. And he was talking about the person that didn't do anything wrong. I said, ho. You know who's hurting the most? You know who's hurting the most? It's not the victim. It's the one that's guilty. Because if the guilty one has any kind of heart at all, who's hurting? He's hurting not only because of his sin, he's hurting because of what he's done. So we comfort the victim. Yes, we do. But when it's the sinner, they're hurting too. How many of us struggle with that? How many of us struggle with our own hearts condemning us? All of us do. And so God says, I want you to know that. And so I want you to comfort him. Put your arm around him. In fact, the word means to call him to your side. Thanks, brother. It's true. But what we talked about earlier, about our sister, when she told God what had happened, when she confessed to God, using that word, when she admitted to God what she had done is wrong, what did God do? How do you know that? God said it, that settles it. First, and Rex even pointed out the verse of 1 John. 1 John 1 says, you acknowledge it, He is faithful and righteous to forgive all sin. All unrighteousness. There's not a sin left in her. It was gone completely. So what am I going to do? I'm going to agree with God. But you know what we've got to do now? It's not just agree with God. We've got to act like God. We've got to make sure that she knows that we include her. That we're here with her. We're for her. We're going to celebrate We're going to restore. We're going to forgive. And we're going to comfort. Now look at why. And we heard it a second ago. Look at the verse again and tell me why. Why do I forgive him? Why do I comfort him? So that you will not be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. Anybody in here want to tell me? Anybody in here want to tell me what excessive sorrow does to you? Makes you want to die. It's depressing. What does it make you want to do?
Give up.
Give up. Now you can make somebody feel bad for what they did. I had that experience. You can make me feel bad for what I did, but that doesn't make me do better. What makes me do better? Forgiveness and comfort. That will help me not be too mean to me. And it help me not to wear what other people say to me. Last thing though, I want you to look at verse 8. I urge you therefore to reaffirm your love to Him. Now this is interesting. Are they supposed to love Him? That's a settled issue. God does, so I have to. If He had said, affirm your love to Him, what does that mean? What does affirm mean? Prove. I affirm my love to you. But He used the word reaffirm. So what does that mean? To do it again. Now, honest, here's what we've done. The old joke is, married couple, been married a long time. Says, honey, do you love me? Said, yeah, I told you when we married I loved you, and if I ever change my mind, I'll let you know. I've seen churches act like that toward it. The preacher got up, I want you to know, love everybody. Hold your wallet, y'all. Hold your wallet. It's not about saying it out like this. It's reaffirming it. What does that mean? Say it.
Don't let them forget.
Don't you let them forget. You keep reminding them. And you keep reminding them. And you keep reminding them. And you keep reminding them. Well, now it's about time. Good enough. It's been long enough. You need to just get over that. How's that work for you, folks? How does that work for you? Because I used to love to hear that. Or actually, you just need to get over it. Never thought about that. That fixed everything. Good. No. You just got to keep reaffirming. Well, it's about time they need to stop. Are you kidding me? Are we ever going to stop needing somebody to love us? No. I didn't say it. God said it. We're to forgive. We're to comfort. And we are to reaffirm. Let's make sure our sister knows, not just today. Let's make sure she knows it again and 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 again, that there's nothing but acceptance and celebration and rejoicing that she is alive. Let's make sure that she doesn't ever question whether or not that we want her right where she is. Let's make sure she never forgets that she's forgiven and comforted and loved. That's what ought to happen to anybody that comes in this place. And I think, well, I make no claim, but I know that if you come in this place and let anybody know anything about what you struggle with, somebody will make you feel that way, or will try to make you feel that way. Somebody comes home, what do you do? Let me hear the words again. First thing we're going to do is a celebration of acceptance. Let's accept them and just accept them and throw a party. Then what are we going to do? Store them. We're going to hold on to them until they get everything back just like it was. And we're going to forgive them. God did it, and we're going to agree with God. And then after God forgives them, make sure we comfort them. Include them. Don't exclude them. Include them. And then we're going to reaffirm our love to them. And then what are we going to do? Reaffirm our love to them. And then what are we going to do? Reaffirm our love to them. And then what are we going to do? Reaffirm. And when will we be finished with that? Jesus will tell you to stop. You just keep doing it till Jesus said, would you stop that? Okay? Now, for her sake, for our sister's sake, and for ours, Jesus never stops reaffirming his love to every Sunday. Every Sunday. I think it's why he built it this way. He wanted folks called by his name to meet and say, I want you to remember me. I want you to remember what I did so you could be forgiven. Does that offer you any comfort? Because he didn't just die for you. He lives for you. And do you think he shows you over and over again he loves you? Yeah. All right.